is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz, and I will be your host today. And joining us later by phone will be our frequent co-host, Bianca Goolsby, who's back from hiatus and is going to catch us up on all the goings-on in the Hillsborough County Board of Education. And we're very excited to hear all the latest and greatest news from Bianca. We're also going to discuss Ron DeSantis's very quick off the starting block agenda setting, let's put it that way, for 2022. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can send an email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. And going to the first point about Ron DeSantis and the agenda setting, he's got his all his little cronies into the I'm trying to think of non-seven words way to say this. All his cronies into line as far as pushing the agenda for legislation. There is a new House bill, and it is disgustingly called Reducing Fetal and Infant Mortality. What it is it's an anti-abortion bill similar to the one we've seen in Mississippi. It talks about 15 weeks, and you can look up that bill. It's called House Bill 5, and you can look that bill up at the Florida Senate website. It's we're about to enter the dark ages in Florida, because that's one of the things that Ron DeSantis gave his State of the State speech the other day. And he said, get ready for this, Florida has become the escape hatch for those chafing under authoritarian, arbitrary, and seemingly never-ending mandates and restrictions. So DeSantis is certainly positioning himself to totally change the landscape in Florida as far as women's rights, and also in education, which Bianca will talk to us a little bit about when she calls in. Last year, he started a legislative proposal to stop woke activism and critical race theory. Not that anybody's teaching critical race theory, mind you, but DeSantis wanted to make sure that we all knew that it was not acceptable. Now he's talking about legislation that will give parents the right to inspect the curriculum at their children's schools and make objections. So that's just going to be a hot mess, you can imagine. And DeSantis is certain, and now Trump is starting to be critical of DeSantis, because I don't know if it's a change in tactic where maybe Trump now sees DeSantis as a threat to his 2024 run. But Trump was critical yesterday about DeSantis not saying one way or another whether he had gotten his COVID booster. And DeSantis kind of disappeared, went off the radar for a couple of weeks. And people were speculating about whether he actually had COVID and was laying low because of that. So I'd love to hear what you guys think about any of the above. And so give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email to dj@wmnf.org. Ron DeSantis, and those of you who listen to the show with regularity know that we call him DeSatan. And the more we see from him, the more fitting the name seems to be. So DeSantis looks to be trying to change and conservatize the state as much as he possibly can with this call to, and it's almost a dog whistle, except it's not a dog whistle because it's such a very pointed call to the like-minded folks out there. Chafing under authoritarian, arbitrary, and seemingly never-ending mandates and restrictions. And yet, at the same time, he's legislating school curriculum that isn't even happening. You know, his whole thing is to make sure that we don't learn about critical race theory or that our children don't. And it's really disturbing because children, number one, are not being taught critical race theory. Number two, they're being taught very whitewashed versions of history. So DeSantis is on a mission, it seems, to make that the focus of his education campaign and tie that into his presidential run is, oh, look what I did, you know, in Florida. I stopped all this, quote unquote, miseducation from coming along. And it's really terrible to see that people aren't really getting up in arms about it. You see a mention here or there on the websites, but you don't really see anybody just going out and challenging what he's doing. And I can't blame the teachers for that because, my gosh, they are just overwhelmed right now with COVID, and they're sick. We're sick. Everybody's sick of COVID, but the teachers have just, it's been a war zone for the poor teachers here lately. And so they can't fight any more than they already have. And Bianca, one of the things that she advocates is that we attend school board meetings. And a lot of times the school board meetings now, no matter what county you're in, are being held by Zoom so that everybody can see what's going on. So Bianca's going to join us in a second. Bianca? You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. So Bianca Goolsbee from Teaching for the Culture, education advocate, and she is a fabulous education advocate. I was just talking, Bianca, about DeSantis trying to make sure we don't learn anything about actual history and only learn, you know, his version. But you're going to spill us the tea about the Hillsborough County School Board and give us your thoughts on anything you have to say about DeSantis.
Oh, wow. Let's start with DeSantis first. it's the hypocrisy for me. I think that Governor Ron DeSantis really needs to have a look in the classroom, actually teaching in the classroom without any support or assistance, before he provides rhetoric on what teachers are doing and not doing, especially during a time in this pandemic where we are seeing the critical shortage of staff, and we're seeing how public education is being dismantled, and the hypocrisy of how we can have rules for public schools but not private schools, which is exactly what we've been talking about for years when it comes to our education. I just really pray for Governor Ron DeSantis, because his leadership across the board with this whole pandemic has been awful. And I just pray for the educators and our support staff that are working every single day in the midst of this pandemic to make sure that our kids are safe. And unfortunately, it's not happening the way it should.
No. And now kids are starting to get the Omicron variant. A lot of them have not been vaccinated. And it's turning into the biggest mess ever. Are we still able, Bianca, to attend school board meetings by Zoom?
So you're able to watch school board meetings, depending on which district, online usually. In Hillsborough's case, yes, you can watch it online. They have it where it is accessible. And if you can't watch it live, they actually do have the archives that are published on the website for anyone to go back and reference later.
Mm-hmm. As far as DeSantis goes, he has the proposal to stop woke activism and critical race theory in schools and corporations. Now, how many schools do you know of in the state of Florida that are teaching critical race theory to start with?
Zero.
Yeah. It's not really taught in anything other than some college courses might be teaching it, but certainly there aren't any critical race theory classes in the majority or any of the lower secondary school. So that, number one. And then number two, he's also talking about giving parents the ability to come in and inspect the curriculum and object to things that they find objectionable. What do you think about that?
I just think that we're having a hard enough time for parents to actually check online tools such as EdB, Clever, the gradebook. To determine if their children are passing or not. We're having a hard enough time for children to actually come to school with the actual tools and equipment that they need to be successful in school. I think we're having a hard enough time for parents not checking the cell phone. And so they're coming to school with these threats because they've been talking amongst themselves with a bunch of language for a long time. I say that we are so hyper-focused on what our students should not be learning instead of focusing what our kids are actually learning now. We have taught our children that we cannot have civil discord because we are fighting at school board meetings. We are actually attending schools to fight leadership, whether it's a masking issue, what books are in the classroom or not, and it's just become very hyper-focused. And it's not really with the intent of helping our children. I think it's to argue and to fight. Do I think that there are some books in the classroom that should not be in the classroom? Absolutely. I agree with that. But to continue this narrative on CRT, critical race theory, that's not being taught in our schools is inappropriate, it's improper, and it should not happen. But not only are they attacking CRT, but they're actually attacking something that uses the same abbreviation. It's called culturally responsive teaching. They're actually going after that too. And that is awful. We have classrooms where students are unable to identify with themselves because we have books of topics that don't relate to their everyday life. And how can you get children to be inspired by that?
Right.
You can't. You don't. And this is why our children are so caught up in TikTok challenges at school than the actual curriculum. So I think we should probably have more intentional efforts on that.
Well, I mean, I think for DeSantis and his ilk, it's all about catering to their base. It's not about children or educating children or doing anything at all to help the public school systems. because we see what's happening. I mean, they're hamstringing them left and right, and there's no end in sight because, you know, DeSantis is going to turn Florida, or is trying to turn Florida, into a super conservative haven. So it's really disturbing to me that the plan here is to indoctrinate kids with a conservative agenda. So, if you have a call, if you have questions for Bianca Goolsbee while we've got her on the phone, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email to dj@wmnf.org or text to 813-433-0885. It's gotten to the point where you can't really tell the actual truth about things anymore, because you've got other people, you know, on the different side just making up facts. And so it's really discouraging. I've got a text message here. It says, on what I consider the sick side of the fence, there are many people that welcome non-truths, misleading education programs. By all means, leave out the uncomfortable truth. Let capitalism flourish. Definitely keep us separated by class. Let the bright light shine and keep all the others in the dark and continue to meet daily struggles. I feel that these views are a stronghold of DeSantis's essence. And this is from Gib. Thanks, Gib. Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm thinking for sure, because it's you're facilitating actual ignorance. And so it's just outrageous to me. And of course, the teachers' unions, I'm sure, have plenty else to deal with other than DeSantis and his shenanigans, right?
Absolutely. They have so much to be worried about instead of a governor that continues with his rhetoric for unknown reasons, because it's not solving or addressing any of the issues that we're dealing with in our public schools right now.
What do you think, Bianca, are the most pressing problems in schools right now?
Right now, we have a pandemic with a critical shortage of staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing where classrooms are, unfortunately, there's not a lot of teaching that's happening. It's more of classroom management. It's more of, you know, containing the students to make sure that they're in a safe space. We're having, you know, transportation logistic issues, where you've had some districts in the Tampa Bay area had to alter when they were going to pick up students because they did not have the staffing to accommodate all the transportation that needs to happen for our children to get to school safely. The biggest issue right now is the shortage. And the shortage is due to our teachers being abused, our support staff not being paid equitably and fairly, and they're not being treated fairly at all. We are seeing the ramification of not prioritizing the public education system in a system where they make all professions possible. Let me just say that again. Teaching makes all professions possible.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the state continues to underfund them. We have a school board that continues to mismanage the finances and trying to fix what happened prior to their arrival. And then on top of that, we have leadership such as Governor Ron DeSantis and Richard Corcoran that are more concerned about their pockets than the actual people that they claim that they're serving.
Right. And even people who get on the school board, because the school board has been a mess for a while, and so we had a new crop of people get onto the school board, and I know at least one of them for sure is getting hate mail on a daily basis, getting threats, and it's like, what? How? We're going to come to your house and take your kid, and this is outrageous. This should not be happening. but it happens quite often.
It does. And I'm just thankful for the school board members that show up and are very unapologetic about their stance.
Yes.
And Jessica Vaughn, for example, is a phenomenal school board member that has received a lot of hate because of her unapologetic stance on the masking issue, on COVID protocols, on asking questions with fidelity, and making sure that she gets the answers for her constituents.
Right.
And that is uncommon when you have some school board members that you have no idea who they are, how they became a school board member, and have been on the board to funnel contracts and projects for their family members or their friends, nepotism. And we are now seeing the ripple effect of years of school board members not being intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And them trying to pull out of this operational deficit that they've been in for years. And who does that ultimately harm? The children.
Yeah. And future generations who, here are these teachers and doctors, everybody who's getting an education in Florida now, one day, will be a professional. And you look at the foundation that house is built on, and it's really frightening.
Yeah.
We have another message. I agree with your assessment that Tallahassee has an agenda of conservative indoctrination of students. And I agree they are taking advantage of the shock doctrine, where they quickly push extreme agenda items while we are all in shock over unrelated events. This is Joe from Tarpon Springs. Thank you, Joe. And they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep doing it until people stand up and say, enough, this is just outrageous. And unfortunately, with his platform to advertise to the whole United States, I read the other day that he had put out the call for, if police departments, if you feel like you're not being treated fairly, come on down to Florida and we'll be happy to put you to work here as police officers. And 15 people from a police department up north came down and got jobs in the same town, which I won't mention. But it's like, okay, so you're calling the bad cops to come down and take up residence here, and you're not going to do anything to them. So it's a multi-pronged attack that he has launched on Florida. And now, he's attacking education. He's bringing in police imports. He's actually talked about making his own militia, for lack of a better word. And now the abortion debacle that's before the House right now, it's reducing fetal and infant mortality, which is no such thing. What it's doing, because we've discussed this on the show before, a woman is at much higher risk of dying during childbirth or shortly thereafter than she is for having an abortion. So this bill is just absolutely, it's pandering is what it is. Reducing fetal and infant mortality. No, you're not. You want to reduce fetal and infant mortality, you fund programs for women to get prenatal care, if that's your goal. So this is just a blatant lie, pretty much. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. Send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text to 813-433-0885. And it's really disturbing that now, he's trying to squash down what the children of Florida learn in schools. What other things do you see coming from DeSantis?
I think that he will continue his rhetoric until the news stop promoting him and stop promoting, the stuff that he says.
Mm-hmm.
There will be more bills that will come to the light legislative session is live and kicking. And
yeah.
There's bills out there that they want to actually record teachers in the classroom. And there's just a lot of stuff that's happening to truly dismantle public education. And it's really unfortunate and it's really sad. But I really hope that folks are not just paying attention to Governor Ron DeSantis, but they're also focusing on the people that are right at their home, right in their community, that are making local decisions
right.
that impact their children as well. So, like, moving to the school board seat, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in Hillsborough County and, quite frankly, and a lot of other Tampa Bay districts, too. But when you have the seventh largest in the United States, the third largest in the state right here in the Tampa Bay area, I pray and hope that people are paying attention, especially when we have seen the housing crisis in Tampa, where we've seen surges of housing prices. Now, my question is, will teachers get a raise this year?
Yeah, I think we both know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I say that people truly have to be intentional with leaders that are here to make decisions to make our state better, whether that's on the state level or that's locally. Mm-hmm. It is vital.
Right, because if you're not paying attention at home, then nobody's really holding these people accountable.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's talk to Tom in Largo. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Good show. Always enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I just had a couple points about the teaching of different things in school that DeSantis is complaining about now, and you know, some things they really don't teach. But my point is, you know, if they would have been teaching the truth all along, it wouldn't be a problem now, because you know, everyone would know all those things. And they're really not giving the kids, you know, enough credit. They're a lot smarter, a lot more worldly than they give them credit for.
You know, oh, sure,
like
yeah.
They're not going to all start wetting their beds at night or something, you know.
Right.
From knowing the truth.
Right.
But that's all I had to say. And, you know, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, we have Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran.
Hi. all I want to say is people have to start calling Ron DeSantis just what he is. He's a fascist. I can't say that word enough. You don't hear it enough. He's a fascist, just like Donald Trump. The path they want to lead the country down is just—it's going to be just like Nazi Germany. All these restrictions they want to put on children's learning and women. They're fascist. I can't think of any better word to describe them. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. All right, so. Tell us what's going on with the Hillsborough County School Board. Bianca?
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on with the Hillsborough County School Board.
So it was announced on Tuesday that the superintendent, Addison Davis, has COVID. He was last pictured at a parade for the MLK event, which Dr. Stacey Hahn wasn't at the board meeting either. So it is suspected that she has COVID as well, although that hasn't been disclosed, although she is sick. So people are getting sick. As far as what's happening with the teacher raises, there's an upcoming meeting that's supposed to happen to discuss that. And so there's a lot of questions circulating around, will they be receiving their raises? There's conversations that no, they won't, due to the financial obstacles that the district is facing. And so that will be disappointing and disheartening to learn and find out that they don't have the money for that. And then on this programming, we talked about an issue that happened at Davis Elementary, which was a child abuse incident where it was captured on video that a teacher had shoved a desk into a child.
Yes.
I just want to thank WMNF for, one, having me on the program and supporting shows like Shirley Voices, because that family now was able to get justice because of this programming, because of WMNF. And they were one of the vital pieces for the family to be aware of what happened. So I just want to just uplift that programs like this truly make a difference in our community.
That's awesome. I have a question here that one of our listeners sent to you. This is from DeMarco. He says, have elected leaders been criminally negligent in their handling of COVID? Should they be held accountable under the law? Should they be charged with pandemicide, a crime against humanity? That is what he wants to know your thoughts on.
So I think that I like the name of the crime.
Pandemicide. I like it too.
Pandemicide. I like it. I really like it, DeMarco. I think that our leaders do need to be held accountable depending on if they caused the crime or not. I do think that they should be held accountable in the systems that we have in place. I think, though, we just need to have frank and open conversation and identify what's true and not true. I think that's the foundation of that. Right now, in the midst of everything going on, we have a lot of misinformation. So when it comes to accountability, we first need to get the receipts out there and the truth out there so that everyone is on the same page. And unfortunately, not everyone's on the same page. We still have people that believe that this pandemic is a hoax. We still have people that believe that getting the vaccine is going to kill you. We still have people that believe things that have been proven not true, but yet they believe it is true. So the short answer to that, I say we need to hold all folks accountable. The three principles I believe in, and I will constantly say, accountability, transparency, and integrity. It is vital for all of us, not just our elected leaders, but everyone, operate in these principles to make the world a better place.
Absolutely. I have a story here from Ramil. He says, the same day I heard the State of the State address by our governor, I heard an early interview with Sidney Poitier about his time living in Florida. Working as a delivery boy for a department store, he rang the doorbell to make a delivery. The woman who answered screamed at him, "Go to the back door." Not understanding the racism, he had recently arrived. He left the package and finished his work. When he arrived home, relatives rushed into the house and demanded to know what he had done. He said, nothing. Yet the KKK burned a cross in their yard. That is a part of our reality that students need to be aware of. The truth will get out whether our governor chooses to hear it or not. Thank you so much, Ramil. I had not heard that story. It's amazing to me the things they don't teach in school. For example, maybe they teach it nowadays. I know when I was coming up, I didn't learn about Emmett Till until I was well into my 20s. Now there's a show on Hulu. I think it's playing on ABC, though. Women in the Movement. And the first couple of episodes I've seen so far have been about Emmett Till. And it is absolutely heartbreaking. And it seems to be very much based on the actual events. And so I'm eager to see how the next episode plays out. But that's a whole show in and of itself. So let's get back to talking about the school board and the mismanagement of funds. Last we heard the state was coming in to do like an audit of the school board handling the finances, and the school board was coming up short. Where does that stand, Bianca?
So the state wanted the district to conduct an audit and had flagged them that they would be under receivership because their general fund balance was not at the statutory requirement. As far as the audit, as far as I'm aware of, that has not been done. As far as receivership, that was averted due to the federal COVID funds that they were able to categorize different expenditures under different buckets. Their general fund balance was able to somewhat be saved. In this particular case, there is no fund that will be coming this year. And during the conversation about redistricting, Addison Davis has stated on the record for folks to know that this district is slated for receivership towards the end of the school year if they don't get their operational deficit under control. Which is why it's unfortunate because the CFO has also been sick. So at vital meetings that she should be attending, she has not been present to. And so there are a lot of questions that are centered around what is going to happen with this district, what's next. And unfortunately, this district is so large that there's just really no way to really determine that. They have a new finance committee that is tasked with reviewing the finances and to create a plan for the school board. As of right now, that finance committee is kind of still in this operating status of just forming, just starting. So they haven't really got into the weeds of projects and contracts and determining, you know, what are some issues there. So I just say to continue to pray for this district, uplift the folks that are tasked with figuring this out, because what I will tell you is that if they don't get this together, that they will be coming after Hillsborough residents for more money. They have created a presentation for requesting a millage increase, which would be on your November ballot. So it's important for folks to be intentional and to realize what's happening.
Yeah, because, well, one thing they could do, I have a suggestion for the Hillsborough County School Board, they can sell off that fleet of police chase ready chargers that I see out in the community on days when there's not school in session. And so that still just blows my mind why you would need that as a school resource officer, but there it is. I don't suppose you ever got your tour of the warehouse where all these very expensive alcohol wipes are stored?
No, I did not get a tour. They told me that they were not doing that. And I still, to this day, and I'm thankful for my surveillance cameras that helped me in this work, but I get pictures almost every day of these vehicles driving around in the Tampa Bay. The last picture I received was 2 days ago, and the vehicle was parked at a Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
So,
I think I have sent you pictures of the cars because it just irks me every time I see one.
Yeah. I just think that this district really has to look at who they're hiring. There's been a practice of nepotism and retaliation in this district. So we're hiring friends. The issue that has been in the news for a couple of days now has been the sexual abuse and harassment at Blake High School. And the question was asked on Tuesday. Great question, valid question. After all of this reporting has came out, the principal still has a job. And they're responsible for the climate and culture of the school. So it's things like that I continue to emphasize that our public school system needs help, and we need our community to be involved, to be intentional with our school system, because our children need us. They need our help. And in this pandemic, it has only heightened the need for the support.
Right. So how do folks go about accessing the Zoom link for the Hillsborough County School Board meetings?
So you can find the school board meetings if you go to the school board website. If you click on the heading school board, and then it will take you to a page, and then you click school board meeting. It will take you to a page that says school board meeting archive, and you'll be able to see when they're live, or you can also click on any of their previous school board meetings and workshops, and you'll be able to have access to any previously recorded videos there. They also have a TV show in station with Spectrum. I can't remember the station, but it is on the website for anyone to Google and have access to.
All right. And how do people find your website, Teaching for the Culture?
So you could find us at teachingfortheculture.com. And we are active on social media spaces as well, such as Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So just please connect with us. Our organization is working hard to bring light and exposure and truth to our public education system and bringing the resources and education that's needed to our community to make a difference, to make an impact. Our children are worth it, and I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful for this programming. I'm thankful for WMNF for having this opportunity to bring these vital conversations to the community that's needed.
Well, thank you very, very much for coming to tell us all about the school board tea today. Ladies and gentlemen, Bianca Goolsbee, education advocate and founder of Teaching for the Culture. Thanks so much, Bianca. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk to Clay in Land O'Lakes. Hi, Clay.
Greetings and salutations and a better New Year to you all. I got to tell you what an honor it is to have the most disrespectful radio program on the air to take my call. And I'm sorry that Bianca's gone, because I wanted to say, Bianca is a superhero.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
That's the work that she does and the things she uncovers is phenomenal. And someone needs to be able to bring that kind of focus on what these idiots are doing. That said, I wanted to point out that the Republican Party has been able to, especially in the state of Florida, embrace and take to a whole new level the Orwellian newspeak that is in that novel, 1984. Nothing better exemplifies that than their title for their anti-abortion law.
Right. It's like, how dare you? Oh, yeah.
I know. They're just, they're completely overboard. And the problem, though, is that people buy that kind of stuff blind and sinker.
Yeah.
Newspeak is something that is, I'm not sure how we best combat it, but it needs to be combated. I also want to make the point on this critical race theory. Critical race theory is not a curriculum. It's not a program. It's not
right
to be taught. It was set up as a mechanism between academics, researchers, and especially lawyers to try to make the case for how black people of color, have been disenfranchised in America through history, through what's happened. That's all that's about. And when we say we don't teach it in school, one of your other hosts, Janelle Edwards, had her husband on, who is actually a history professor, taught at USF, and he presently teaches in the high school. And he says, we teach all the stuff that is the principles, not necessarily the principles, but that reinforce this critical race theory idea, and that, you know, those things are taught in our high schools. They're not illegal. We're not teaching as critical race theory. We're just teaching or trying to teach these things that help people understand exactly how we got to where we are today. That's what it's all about. It's telling us how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
And with the prejudice and the bias and all the other things that's going on.
Here's a question for you, Clay. What are DeSantis and their ilk afraid of, really? Because they're not afraid about the facts coming out. They're afraid of the impact that the facts will have on people.
Well, they're afraid of them, but they don't recognize the fact that it's happening whether they want it to happen or not. That's a good thing about kids and children. They're able to look at things much differently than we do as an adult. You know, they don't have the same prejudice bias that we have in looking at things. And it's one of the reasons that we have a more accepting youth in the last couple of generations than we've had before in accepting people of color, and being diverse and all that. DeSantis is really just, playing to his base.
Yes.
Playing to the base. In hopes that he's going to be in a position to run for president. And that's really sad. But, you know, the most important thing that everyone needs to realize in this state is that you have to go out and vote. And whatever you do, whenever you vote, you need to look at the people and what they actually stand for. Not what they say they stand for. You have to look at their actions. Because we have to put people in our legislature, Republican or Democrat, and in our governor's office, and in and every other constitutional office that we can, who are looking out for our best interest and not the best interest of corporations or promoting an agenda or whatever. We're really at a very turning point. This 2022 election is going to be extremely important. And something that we have to address, because if this country doesn't look at and fix the voting suppression things that have gone on and all these gerrymanderings and all those kind of things, the Republicans are going to have an electoral coup and take over. The minority will rule.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, look what just happened. The proposal, I think, for the district congressional districts in Tampa. For the first time, Tampa's been divided, what, to four now, instead of having a single representation? And they're doing that all over the state in an attempt to break down, especially any places that's solidly Democratic, trying to break that down so they can get other folks in and keep control.
Right.
It's really sad.
All right, Clay, thank you so much for calling. And
well, thank you guys so much for your show. You guys are the best call-in radio show on WNF today.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in future episodes, I'm sure.
Peace be upon you. Stay healthy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's see. I have an email from Jeff. It says, I think Nielsen ratings can give an indication of the temperature of the country, and right now Fox News is rating higher than MSNBC and CNN combined. DeSantis talks to the Fox News audience. People can swing one way or the other. There are certain factors such as the pandemic continuing and inflation, which are unfortunate for the current administration. Had the BBB package gone better, that could have helped. I know a lot of people disagree with the message of DeSantis, but I can clearly see what he's trying to do. Jeff, yes, I think we can all see what he's trying to do. I think, in the short term, we need to really pay attention, because things are only going to get more ridiculous from the things coming out of his mouth and his camp. And hopefully we can get a good opponent for the next gubernatorial run. Let's see. I've got one more from Mary. I don't think I can read that one on air. Sorry. So you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5, Surly Voices by Surly Feminists for the Revolution. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663, email at dj@wmnf.org, or text to 813-433-0885. And wrapping up I just want to mention a few words about Bianca Goolsbee because, as you guys know, she is a frequent contributor to our show. And I met Bianca first a few years ago when she was just starting Teaching for the Culture. And it really is a great organization. She really takes the school board to task and she gathers all the receipts and she puts them online. She really has her finger on the pulse of the educational community in Hillsborough County. And so, if you're interested at all in public education in Hillsborough, go ahead and look her up at teachingfortheculture.com. She's also on social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, things like that. And she also does video presentations with her evidence that she finds. She's really done a huge amount of work in looking at the budget deficit in Hillsborough County. And so if you have any questions about that, she is certainly a fabulous person to follow. Besides that, because of the work she's done, she has gained a big following with teachers and parents who have children in the school system. And so she's plugged in like very, very few people are. And she's actually been asked to other counties to build a model for those counties like she has in Hillsborough County. So we are always thrilled to have her on. And she certainly... we were very thrilled to have her on today, especially when DeSantis is talking about all these educational programs and interfering with the educational system in the state of Florida. If you want to look at House Bill 5, the new bill that's been introduced by two female legislators, coincidentally, she said with great sarcasm. The two legislators who introduced this, one is Kelly Stargell from Lakeland, and one is Erin Grail from Vero Beach. And it's no accident, of course, that women introduced this bill because that's how they operate, is they put up quote-unquote models of the people that it's going to affect. And that's why these particular folks introduced this bill. But if you want to look at the text of the bill, which is quite disturbing, go to the Florida Senate website, and you can get that at www.floridasenate.gov. House Bill 5, Reducing Fetal and Infant Mortality. And we'll do more shows on that particular bill because the name of it alone is the most egregious thing to me. Before I even read the first line of the text, the name alone is like, how dare you? So we will have future show on that, and we will get our OBGYN correspondent to come on and talk about the misconceptions and misrepresentations in this bill. Thank you so much for listening today. Again, you've been listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Please join us next week at 10 o'clock, and we will talk to you then.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong, I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a sauce, Molly Bird.
jump in the coop. Your grip on top of the roof.